Teachers are truly the backbone of our society, and they need more support from administrators, from parents and the community, as well as through policies that support this important work.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1933. That was the day President Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed the Tennessee Valley Authority Act. The act created the TVA as a federal corporation and was tasked to address the resource development of the region. One of
You're listening to WGXC, Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
If you are hungry or just want to help community radio, come on out on Thursday, May 25th to Left Bank Ciders in Catskill to their community soup night. WGXC is organizing this night, Thursday, May 25th, with a live on-site broadcast, DJs, and soup. Come on out for a bowl of soup, conversation, and some music. Each Thursday night, Left Bank Ciders hosts a community soup night where volunteers make soup with proceeds benefiting a local nonprofit. All proceeds go to Waveform WGXC 90.7 FM. On Thursday, May 25th, the Left Bank Ciders in Catskill from 5 to 7 p.m.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Dubin of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Getaway on WGXC Acra. That's 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin Getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's guest is Eric Pescor. Eric was born and raised in Rochester, New York. His mom loved animals, and his family always had two or three of them in the backyard and at home, including horses, dogs, a bird, gerbil, and even a donkey. Eric and his brother were responsible for feeding, cleaning, and riding them. In high school, Eric joined the track and cross-country teams and was an active horseback rider with Pony Club. His mother encouraged the English style of riding, and they always went to clinics, competitions, and fox hunts on the weekends, which helped Eric to learn a lot and keep him focused. Right before Eric graduated high school, he made the horseback riding tetrathlon team and got the opportunity to travel to Europe to compete for the United States of America. For college, Eric attended SUNY Geneseo and often reminisces about his years there. He truly thought those days would never end. After college, he lived at home for about a year while working as a telemarketer for Paychex. He then worked for a marketing company as a planogram technician. This is the person in charge of determining where to place things on the shelves in grocery stores to maximize sales. Since 2014, Eric has been an account specialist at FieldTex products. FieldTex is a manufacturing company that makes military, medical, and private sector bags and backpacks. Eric helps design the bags and place their production orders. It's all made in the USA. Eric is married with two children. His mother passed away in 2018, a loss that is still deeply felt. For some reason, he has the desire to put himself in danger through bike racing. It's a hobby that he takes way too seriously, and in 2021, he broke his scapula in two places and needed a plate and five screws to put him back together. During his recovery, he played Tetris every night after work and actually beat the game. He hasn't played since. He maintains that Star Trek is better than Star Wars. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hello.
How
do you beat Tetris?
I don't know. It was a surreal moment. It's a lot of practice.
What happens?
A lot of practice.
What happens when you beat it?
Well, I got to level 15, and surprisingly, nothing. It said level complete, and then it started over at level one. That was it.
No kidding. No fireworks. No.
Did you tell anybody?
I did, but nobody cared. They're like, that's great.
You're
sitting there exhausted and exhilarated, and you say, guess what? And they're like, yeah, cool, mate. Pass the popcorn.
Have you guys seen that there's a Tetris movie coming out?
I saw that movie. Of course I did.
Did you see the movie or the trailer?
The whole movie.
You saw the movie?
I did.
Now, I saw that.
Is this a joke?
No, this is real. It looks pretty good, but then I saw that it's like rated R. Is that possible? Is it rated R?
Really? It's rated R?
That's what I thought I saw. It's like, how can a movie about Tetris be rated R? But anyways, is it good?
I thought you were going to say the trailer said it's really, really confusing. But, you know, if you give it time, everything just falls into place.
Boo.
I see what you did there. Brilliant.
See it up.
But did you think it was good? Good movie?
Yeah, it was a really good movie. I forget who the actor is. Is it Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah.
Really good, sort of like a documentary, but told from the perspective of the person who actually brought Tetris to America. So it talks about like his journey, trying to start his own video game company. And he's at an exhibit and he sees Tetris and he travels all the way to Moscow and he kind of goes back and forth trying to fight over the rights to Tetris between him and another company. And it's if half of it is accurate, it's an amazing story. And,
wow.
And I believe it to be pretty amazing. And you know, it's a nerdy, quirky, little thing. So, I was all in. So.
Did you ever solve the Rubik's Cube?
No.
You sound like the type of guy that would probably have done that.
Well, you know, see, the thing is, Andy, I try really hard, but a lot of the stuff I'm not good at, but I enjoy the attempt.
I was off once, and I'd had an operation, and I was in the house, and I had a jigsaw puzzle. It was the 80s. And it was all these iconic pictures of people and things from the 80s. And kind of like you, I was like trying to get this all done and I was getting close. And one day I just pushed the boat out and managed to get it done. And no one was there except me. And it was just silence. Stun. Now what do I do? So I took it apart.
Yeah.
That was it.
That's how
anticlimactic.
Yeah, puzzles. You get them done. It's like, oh, that was like hours of work. Now what?
Let's just stare at it.
Back in the box. Some people glue them together and they'll like frame them.
Yeah. Mm. Or like models. Build a model and then it just sits in a corner somewhere.
Andy's into models.
Well, I bought my I built. I've actually got the Titanic behind me.
Oh, you do.
Yeah, and a couple of others. I built about five or six, maybe eight. Built a tractor trailer and, well, the cab and all that, you know. Built about 10 cars and then the boat. I've got about five or six models still there I could do, but I've moved on to other things. I've graduated higher, you know.
Nice. Now, Andy, you said that you had a puzzle that was from like the 1980s.
Yeah, the one the jigsaw.
It was like artists.
It was like all different things, iconic things from the '80s. So it would be like Madonna, Michael Jackson, you know, big things, MTV sign, and you know, VCR, and all things that you would find associated with the '80s: artists, iconic people, objects, TV programs, all different things.
Well, you know, one of the things that I associate with the 1980s is the movie Predator. And that was something that Eric and I, we went to college together. We were roommates, I guess, so to speak, for a time, lived in the same suite in an apartment, shared an apartment. And we watched Predator, I don't know, at least once. Probably more than once.
At least.
It was a great classic movie. And there's a new Predator, a prequel, I guess you could call it, called Prey, that's out on Hulu.
Yep.
I saw that. I thought that was excellent.
Excellent, yeah, it was.
I have just a couple trivia questions for you guys about Predator, if you're ready.
Go on.
Andy, have you ever seen this movie?
Is that the one where, who's in it?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I thought it was Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
So in the movie, there's a character named Dylan, and he is the old CIA pal of Dutch. Dutch played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who is it that plays Dylan, the guy that gets this group of commandos together and throws them in the meat grinder?
Well, that's Apollo Creed, but I don't know who he really is. I knew he used to be a football player.
That's right. It's Apollo Creed. What's his name? Anybody know?
What's his initials?
CW.
Hey. Oh, Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers. Excellent.
Yeah. I was about to say that there.
Another bit of trivia here. Sonny Landham played Billy in the film. The silent and intense member of the team who seemed to sense the Predator's presence before anyone else. In order to appease the insurance companies for the film, Landham could only be cast if a bodyguard was hired for him. And this bodyguard was not to protect Landham, but rather to protect others from Landham. John McTiernan, who's affiliated with the film, maintains that Sonny Landham was never a problem on the set. You know, the thinking was that he had this hot temper and that he would get into fights and things. So apparently the film company hired a person to keep this guy in line so he wouldn't just like start attacking the other actors. but that's not true. And one last trivia question before we get on onto Eric's logic for this. What was the name of Blaine's minigun?
Old painless.
That's what it was. Sorry, Andy.
Yeah, I never get a chance there.
Oh, it's so great. It's such a perfect name for a minigun, Old Painless. So Eric, yes. why are you bringing the theme from Predator on your Catskill Cabin getaway?
Well, so I'm going to be alone in the wilderness, right? And I just think it would be kind of a funny kind of thing to like wake up to, you know, in the morning. And I just kind of like to reminisce about the old days of college, and I love the movie Predator.
That was the theme from Predator by Alan Silvestri. Eric,
yeah.
your first item is water.
Mm.
I'm not even going to say why water. Because we know why water, because you need it.
But not everyone... Not everyone brings water, so this is interesting commentary about Eric.
I was going to say, do you not trust that we would have water there for you?
Well, you said it was just a cabin in the middle of the woods, and I had 3 days, so I'm going to need some water.
Well, this is true. This is true.
Why did you choose?
There would be water there. There would be water there, so you could take a bath.
Oh man! I guess I could take a bath.
No. So here's the deal. Yeah, there's water, except it's like creek water, pond water, lake water, something like that. And unless you are acclimated to drinking that type of water, you do not want to drink that water. You want to bring a good 7 liters of. And why seven, Eric?
Oh, I looked something up online, like what was the bare minimum, like per day, and then I gave myself a little bit extra in case I got a little like frisky with, I don't know, building traps or something for predators or whatever else might be around. So,
and you go sweating and stuff and you needed more water.
Right. Plus, I hear you can live a long time with just water. I mean, it's not pleasant, but water ensures that I can survive my stay at the cabin. So I'm just looking out for number one.
Eric,
first and foremost.
Fair enough. Now, I have a couple of quiz questions about water. Or not just about water, about things associated with water. So, a small drip from a faucet can waste as much as this amount of water per day. What do you think, Mike?
I'm going to go with a drip from a faucet. I'm going to go with two gallons.
Eric?
Two gallons.
Maybe 1 gallon. No, I've sold out. 2 gallons, if that's the word.
I'm gonna say. So it's 24 hours of drippage.
A small drip from a faucet can waste as much as this amount of water a day.
I'm gonna say 1.5 liters.
Nice.
1.5 liters.
It's like a half gallon, maybe something like that.
All right. So the answer is 75 liters.
How many? Can anyone convert that to gallons? How many is that?
Really? Yep. There's no way.
Yeah.
75 liters to gallon. 74 liters. So that's 20 gallons, just about. That's 19.8129 gallons. See, Eric, I said two, thinking maybe I'm overreaching, but these trivia are always insane. It's always some bonkers Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs thing that you would never expect.
All right. So another question. How many tons of water is evaporated every day by the sun?
A trillion gallons? Gosh. I don't know.
What?
I'm going to say a trillion gallons.
A trillion?
What's?
A trillion gallons, Mike.
Yeah, I don't know.
Eric?
I don't know. What's bigger than a trillion? Is it like a quad? quad something?
One quadrillion, Bob.
Something. One trillion times infinity plus one is my answer.
You jerk.
So the answer is a trillion tons of water evaporated every day by the sun.
Dang.
Close. Mike, I'm going to give you some kudos there. That was a good guess.
Thank you. Yeah, so if we could figure that out. 8 pounds in a gallon, so it'd be 2,000 divided by 8. That'd be the number of gallons. Anyways, what else you got for us, Andy? Anything?
Americans use 5 times the amount of water than Europeans use.
Ooh, yeah, it's not very efficient.
Is that because we shower, like, all the time?
Probably. There are 2 kinds of water, salt water and fresh water. Salt water contains, you guessed it, large quantities of salt, while fresh water has a dissolved salt concentration of less than 1%. Only fresh water can be used as drinking water.
Yeah.
I have another water trivia. Am I allowed to input my own trivia?
Yeah.
So I heard there was a radio show, and the competition was to see who could drink the most water.
Oh, yeah.
Without going to the bathroom. Did you hear about this, Mike?
I think years ago, maybe.
Yeah, I think they were, like, competing for, like, the first PlayStation or something that came out. And the one guy won, but he drank so much water that he, like, died the next day. He was, like, I think he was on the show, and he was like, oh, you know, it's, I had this really bad headache or whatever. And then he just went to sleep, and he died because of the chemical imbalance in your body or whatever. And
yeah, you can drink too much water.
Jeez.
You just don't think about that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Terrible. Oh, my gosh. I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
So I'm going to leave you with this thought. The Earth is a closed system that rarely loses or gains extra matter. Essentially, this means that the same water that existed on Earth millions of years ago is still present today.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Really? Yes. What about the evaporated water from the sun?
I just read it, mate. I don't know.
No, because it goes into the atmosphere, but then it rains back down. Like, the Earth's gravity keeps it clung to the Earth.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't go off in this way. Thank God. Man, we'd run out of water. Like, and that's kind of what I think, to some degree, maybe, like, what happened with Mars, because they lost, well, no, because that's gravitation, but they lost their magnetic field, so then the solar wind just, like, blew away their atmosphere, and so that's why another Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, you know, Total Recall, it's all ice on Mars.
That's a good one. Another good one.
Oh, man. Well, you know, what they tried to do there, speaking of water and the world and stuff, is they tried to turn terraform Mars into a world, an ordinary world, if you will. And that's your next song, Duran Duran, Ordinary World. Why that song, Eric?
You know, I get kind of emotional with that song for some reason, because I feel like we're all just sort of, you know, finding our way through the world, you know, through our own experiences, and sometimes it's happy, sometimes it's sad, but you know, it's your own experience, so I just kind of like it.
Came in from a rain.
that was Duran Duran, Ordinary World. Fantastic song. I've always liked Duran Duran. Great choice, Eric. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Getaway on WGXC Acre. That's 90.7 FM. Today's guest is Eric Pescor, and we are discussing the songs and items that we would take, or that he would take, rather, on a Catskill Cabin Getaway. WGXE is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit WGXE.org to make a donation or become a sustaining member today. Now, Eric, your second item is a fire starter. Now I understand. I really appreciate this because it's an essential tool. It's an essential thing, isn't it? Now, there are loads of different types of fire starters, ranging from the traditional match, the lighter, So what have you got in mind?
I was thinking like a flint thing that you strike.
Right.
I am not a huge survivalist type person, but I think I could operate that. And I think it might last longer than like a zip lighter you would use to, you know, light a cigar or something. Yeah. So, with a fire starter, you could obviously start a fire. Perhaps you could boil water, although I didn't bring a pot, so I don't know what I'd boil the water in. But fire is important for stuff, and also, you know, for morale. You know, if I do catch something or whatever, then I could potentially cook it. Maybe that's kind of a long shot, though. We're really relying on the water basically to get us through this.
Eric, just for you, we've stocked the cabin with utensils and plates and pots.
Oh man, see, I thought it was just like a room.
Oh, this is just for you. This is just for you.
Oh, just for me? Oh, thank you.
Well, you know, this is all kind of taking me back, talking about water and splitting wood and fire starters and stuff. I got into backpacking years ago, and I invited Eric to come along, and I did not equip Eric well. And this was back at a time where I was a little bit more rugged and merciless. And in hindsight, I feel really bad because Eric had to borrow gear, in particular, a sleeping bag, a big Agnes bag, which normally would have worked pretty well, except it didn't have fill on half of it. And what, your sleeping pad kept deflating or something?
Yeah, you know, it was a little tough, but... You know, I really enjoyed the trip.
Okay. Well,
and you were walking so fast.
I don't know if you slept
on
much.
A mission.
I don't know if you said, well, I was just, that was my mode back then. I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
But poor Eric, we got up the next morning and I looked over at him and it just looked like you hadn't slept very much because I'm concerned you were cold that night because your darn sleeping bag didn't have half the fill in it. And so, something, I remember just something was off with it. Something, we didn't have it set up right for some reason. So that was a hard first trip.
Did you sleep well that night, Mike?
Oh, I slept fine. I had all my gear.
So you only cared a little bit
about myself, but not about Eric, you know, but
Well, Mike, I think, that was kind of well deserved because do you remember that time in college when Andrew Ginion and I took you on that little jog?
That's right. Restitution. Yeah, freshman year, both these guys are on the track and cross-country teams, so they're like mega college runners, and here's amateur, I ran track in high school, and they're like, why don't you come for a run with us, Mike? And I was like, okay. Yeah, how far did we go, Eric, do you think?
I don't remember. I mean, it wasn't that far for us, but I felt bad dragging you through that. But, you know, to your credit, you did make it.
Yeah, that should tell everyone everything. He made it, you know.
But you didn't talk to us much afterwards.
Well, it was like, guys, you know, like through panting and heavy breaths, guys, how much further? Oh, just another half mile, just another mile, Mike. Okay, yeah, miles and miles of that.
But why did you even agree to come with us?
You know, it was during finals week. It was in the spring. It was beautiful out. There were those bluebells. In the woods, it was like this fog of blue flowers, just a cloud amongst the trees. So that was beautiful, and it was misty, and it was finals week, and you know, I wasn't totally sure what I was going to do with my future. I was really stressed about final exams, so I wanted to just get some of that energy out. You know, I wanted to burn some of those stress hormones, And I liked hanging out with you guys. And you were good buddies to me, and I wanted to spend time with you. And so I made a foolish decision. I agreed to go on a run with profoundly fit, seasoned runners. Andy's a runner. So Andy,
I've not ran for about 3-4 years.
He could have hung with you, but oh man,
I would do 10Ks,
which is 6 miles.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mike, I remember one time you took me to the weight room, and I was sore from picking up your weights and just like loading them onto the bar, like me just like picking up whatever it was, I don't know, 45 or something, and putting it on the bench press bar. I was like, I'm so sore just preparing Mike Porter's weights.
It was different. It was different conditioning. You had to be lean and mean so you could run. You had to cross distances. I was trying to move heavy things. It was very different.
Yeah.
But
that's why that's why we're the apex predators, right? Because we can sweat and we can keep moving all day and we don't overheat because we don't have to pant. So
that's right. You saw that too? That was like a TED Talk or something.
Oh yeah, maybe it was a TED Talk. I can't remember where I learned that from, but it's all because of sweating, I guess.
Yeah. It's this hilarious image to me, or this hilarious scene where like you have this band of tribal people just slowly jogging with spears after some poor wildebeest or animal that can't sweat, you know, on the savannah. So it eventually has to stop and pant or it overheats, and this band of people just jogs up and stab.
It just falls over from exhaustion. Yeah, it's called persistence hunting, I believe.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. We were just like, well, I mean, they had like trackers and stuff because, you know, the animal could like run and hide somewhere. So I guess it wasn't just about, you know, walking until it fell over. But I don't know. That's pretty amazing to think that we could do that.
Man, awesome.
Well, we've graduated to just guns and scopes now and just fat guys,
or maybe in the future phasers, which takes us to our next song. And before we get to the song, this is the theme from Star Trek Enterprise. Eric, you maintain Star Trek is better than Star Wars. Could you maybe give me a brief bulleted list, even one point? How is that in the realm of possibility?
Gosh, my, there's so many things I could say right now. Okay, so they're both science fiction, but to sum it up as politely and succinctly as possible, Star Trek is grounded in actual science, which I like. So the creator of Star Trek wouldn't invent anything unless it had some scientific basis. Star Wars, I don't really care about any of that. They all run around with laser swords. It makes no sense. the ships, you know, come in and out of hyperspace. They don't talk about how much fuel do they need for that. You know, with Star Trek, it's like, hey, we're going to go into warp drive and we need a warp bubble and we need matter and antimatter for the energy. And that stuff is cool to me. And I like Star Wars too, but Star Trek is definitely number one.
Well, I see where you're coming from. Point taken. So why this song? Why the theme from Star Trek Enterprise?
So if I'm going to be at a cabin in the middle of the woods by myself, I wanted an inspirational song. And, you know, I am a Star Trek fan, so, you know, I like thinking about Star Trek, I guess. But it's just a very, like, uplifting song, and it's a song about, like, progress and striving and, you know, it's a good song to start your day.
It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time, but my time is finally near. And I can feel the change in the wind right now. Nothing's in my way. I've got strength.
that was the theme from Star Trek Enterprise. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Getaway on WGXC Acra. That's 90.7 FM. Today's guest is Eric Peskor, and we are discussing the songs and items that he would take on a Catskill Cabin Getaway. WGXC is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit WGXC.org to make a donation or become a sustaining member today. Now, Eric, is this going to be a Leatherman, a Swiss Army knife? What specific tools is it going to contain?
Yeah, good question. So I think I was envisioning a Leatherman, with a knife. I don't know. I mainly just wanted the knife, and it turns into pliers, so I can, grab things. And I don't want to give away my next item, but I think it would work well with the next one.
Yeah.
What is there, like a wine opener there? I don't know. I can
corkscrew.
Maybe some little scissors pop out of there. That would be good.
Why would you want a corkscrew?
I don't know. I think it just comes with Leatherman, doesn't it?
Do you think,
do you think there's going to be
wine in the cupboards?
There's already pots and pans in there, allegedly. So maybe.
I looked that up, and I think back in the 1800s, when they started making these things, they included, if I'm not mistaken, a corkscrew because, like, the soldiers would get, ration kits, and the corkscrew was used to help, like, open those ration kits.
Yeah.
I think that's why. So it's kind of like a holdover from that. But that's a really great point. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen anyone use the corkscrew feature of a multi-tool. On the other hand, they don't really have them in, like, Leatherman multi-tools anymore. You know, they don't have corkscrews. They'll have blades and tweezers and things, but... Yeah. Not corkscrews. Mm. So.
Oh, they have a nail file, I think, too. I don't want my nails to get too long.
Well, excellent.
We had my friend George on the show, and he said he wanted a Swiss Army knife as one of his items, but not just any old Swiss Army knife. The big display one that's on the wall in the store. So it's like a massive blade, you know.
It's like hedge trimming shears, but it's a Leatherman. huge harness on your hip that stick it in there. Waste 30 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Your final song here, as you've gone away on your Catskill Cabin Getaway, is The Offspring's Gone Away. Tell us about that song, Eric. Why that song?
I wanted a song that I could yell to and scream in the middle of the forest and no one could hear, and I feel like that's a good yelly song for that.
that was gone away by the offspring. Now, one thing I want to say, when I decided to work on two songs, Duran Duran and the offspring, funnily enough, the person who wrote the song for Duran Duran, Simon Le Bon, wrote the song about a heartbreaking situation where somebody he knew died, and it, you know, when he was younger, and that was what he wrote the song about. And then this song here, Gone Away, it was about one of the guys in the band was in a takeaway joint, I think it was, and somebody came in and started shooting the place up, and it was talking about this near-death experience, and that was what the song was about. So
wow.
I found it interesting that two of your songs were about sad things that happened to these guys who wrote the songs.
Well, I guess I didn't do that on purpose. I didn't think about the history like that. But when my mom passed away and in 2018, suddenly, I think maybe subconsciously I might gravitate towards songs that have kind of an underlying meaning that maybe I don't know I'm doing on purpose. But I do think about, you know, how much time we may or may not have left, because we don't really know how much time we have left. And I don't know. That's why.
Yeah. Sorry, you know, Eric. I'm sorry about that.
My dad passed away in 2018 also. And his anniversary was on the 4th of April. And I just couldn't get my head around the fact that it was 5 years. It just feels like a blip. You know, yeah, it just amazed me how time just keeps going. And although we don't forget, people dissolve, their memory dissolves into the ether, doesn't it? And it's strange.
Yeah, it is amazing. Yeah, it's just, I can't believe that I'm going to be 40 soon. But it's just flying by. You're absolutely right. It makes you feel so small and insignificant. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But let's look at things more positively. Your last item was a fishing pole. You obviously think you're going to catch the big one.
Well, you got to have something to do with the cabin, right? So,
yeah.
It's just me alone with my songs and my thoughts. And what better way to pass the time than attempting to catch some fish, right? Plus, I got my multi-tool. I can start a fire. It's possible I could be eating tonight.
Could be that you'll catch a couple of trout and be able to fry them up.
If you're in the
frying pan that we supplied.
If you're in the vicinity of the pond at the summer camp where former Catskill Cabin Getaway guest alumnus Judd Weisberg spent some time fishing, you might catch the big one. I can't remember how big he said, if he really knew how big this trout was, but we had a guest on years ago, Judd Weisberg, that, you know, decades ago, he was at like some summer camp and they agreed to let him come fish, you know, before sunrise, before everyone got up in camp. And he said it was one of those deals. It was just one more cast. And then boom.
He thought he was snagged. And no, he said to the guy, I've just saw what they're eating. And he says, let me change the fly. Changes the fly. And he says to the guy, he's on the boat with one more cast. And I'm sure he's making it all dramatic. Casts it. Boom. He thought he was snagged in the bottom, but it was actually a massive fish. And he said he kept it and he took it to some guy and they fried it up.
Yep, cooked it up.
Probably some like endangered megalodon species or something ate the last one.
Yeah, gave him the runs.
Hey, I have a little bit of fishing trivia for you gentlemen if you're interested and ready.
Go on.
The oldest fishing hooks ever found were found in a Japanese island cave. They were carved from sea snail shells. How old were these fish hooks? From how long ago?
18,600 years ago.
Got it.
18,000?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. They got to be like 10 BC or something. I don't know.
The internet says 23,000 years ago.
What?
So wow. I guess so. Yeah, people were fishing a long time ago. Just one more. Fish and chips is the national dish of which country?
Scotland.
Scotland, Andy?
England.
You're both correct. It's the United Kingdom. Ding, 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 ding. And that's a great way for me to conclude our fishing trivia.
Well done.
Well done, gentlemen. Well done.
And salt and vinegar on the fish and chips.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Salt and vinegar. It's salt and vinegar.
Yeah.
And in some places...
Is it wrapped up in a newspaper? Is it true?
It used to be. It's wrapped up in paper, but it used to be newspaper. There's an old saying, today's newspaper headlines, tomorrow's fish and chip wrapper. You know, it just tells you how quickly things move on and it becomes a memory.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Yes. We got deep there for a second, guys.
Well... we've come to the end here. Eric, thanks so much for being a guest with us today. It's been great to see you again and get caught up. We have just one final question for you.
Okay.
How do you take your coffee?
Black.
Nice.
A man after Andy's heart.
Now, do you take any sugar in it?
Nope, just black. Every once in a while, I go to the overpriced, Starbucks or whatever, but I just like to sip it for as long as it'll last in the morning, and I only have one cup because apparently I can't handle my coffee in the afternoon.
Me neither. It's great to see you, Eric.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Excellent, Eric. Thanks for coming on. Good to see you, man.
Hi, I'm Eric Pescor, and you've been listening to Catskill Cabin Getaway on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George, Gordon, and Billy from the band White for the theme music, and to everyone at WGXC, thanks.